Good morning. Would you stand with us this morning? Welcome to Noble Assembly of God. We're glad that you are here. How many of you are ready to worship the Lord this morning? Praise God. He inhabits our praises, the Bible says. And aren't you glad you know Jesus as your Savior? How many of you are going to heaven this morning? Well, maybe not this morning, but you're going. Amen. Praise God. Our testimony is that we are saved, that we are on our way to heaven. Amen. Put your hands together. I saw Satan. Hang on, we're a little too fast. Take two. I saw Satan fall like lightning. Start over. Start over. Take three now. Here we go. I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Still the miracle that I just can't get over. My name is registered in heaven. My praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Come together, sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. We'll finish what He started. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. One more time. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll
heart again if I'm not dead. You're not done. Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. This is my testimony from death to life. God's grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah for that testimony. From death to life. Praise you, Jesus. There's power in your name. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. All sufficient sacrifice, so freely given, such a price, but our redemption, heaven's gates swing wide. There's power in the name of Jesus. Yes, there is. There is. Chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every train. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe. In this broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe, we believe. Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptations, we believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised in the here and now. Let love be made, let the church live now. And God will say, we believe, we believe. And the gates of hell will not prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil. Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back, He's coming back again. He's coming back again. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're a way maker. You're a miracle worker. You're a promise keeper. You're light in the darkness. We're here to worship you. We're here to glorify you. We're here to lift you up. We're here to magnify your name, God. We're here to give you praise today. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We are here, moving in our midst.
I worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, worship you. I worship you, you are here, healing every heart. I worship you. Say, you're my way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. You're my way maker. You're my miracle worker. My promise keeper. My light in the darkness, oh God. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessing and glory and honor and power be unto our God today. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, move in this place today. Lord, touch hearts today. Touch lives today. Lord, those watching over the internet, touch them right now, right where they're sitting, Lord. God, minister through the aisles of this sanctuary today. Lord, do your work even now, right now. Holy Spirit, touch hearts and lives. Oh, Father God, we worship you, moved by your Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Father God, moved by your Spirit, touch hearts. Lord, you know what's needed today. You know where we're at. You know, Father God, how to heal and how to touch and how to deliver and how to save and how to comfort. How to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That is who you are. 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 You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. One more time, you're my Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, yes, Lord, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are, and it's you that we worship this morning. You're the reason we're here today in this sanctuary. You're the reason we're singing, the reason we're standing, and the reason we're lifting our hands and lifting our voices to you, because you are worthy of every ounce of praise and worship we can utter today. Oh, Father God, you've done so much for us. And you have so much more that you want to do in this world, in this church, in this community, Lord, in our nation. Lord, around the world, so much more you're going to do and want to do. We give you praise, Lord, today. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Our testimony is that we are your children. We are the sheep of your pasture. We are the apple of your eye. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you would be the comfort and the peace today for Shelley and Steve Tyler, whose house burned. They've lost everything. I pray that you give them peace and comfort today. I pray that you supply every need, that you restore what has been lost, that you just take care of them today. Father, I pray that you would be with Ronnie and Robin Boggs as they go to see his brother Carl, who is dying of cancer, just given days to live, Lord. And I thank you that Ronnie was able to ask him if his brother knew you as his Savior, and he said in the affirmative, yes. So we thank you, Lord, that when he leaves this earth, that he will be with you in heaven. Comfort his family, his children, right now. Father, we continue to pray for Elaine Smith, that you would touch her there at home, that you would bring strength and healing and help to her, and wisdom and peace and comfort to her caregivers, to her husband, to her daughter, to her sons. Father, I pray that you would be with Caleb and Jessica, my son and daughter-in-law, who are at the hospital right now,
giving birth to a little girl. I pray that you let little Kindler Grace Lance come safely and healthy into this world in your perfect timing. God, just be with them right now, we pray. Lord, meet every other need in this place. Lord, I know there's people here today who have concerns and cares with are on their hearts, loved ones, friends, family that they know that need you in a special way. Lord, our prayer meeting on Wednesday night, we go over many of those needs, Lord, and we just pray that you supply each one. We pray that you touch our country. We pray that you touch our leaders. We pray that you let truth and righteousness prevail in this nation again, and a mighty revival spread from coast to coast and border to border. We give you praise, God, today, because you're the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. Lord, that's who you are, and that's who we serve. Can I hear an amen this morning? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, praise team, for leading us in a great time of worship this morning. Let's give a hand to our musicians and our singers. Not just these up here, but those that lead us every Sunday. Thank you so much. Praise God. Praise God. And amen. Be faithful. He is the solid rock. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Let's remember that. I believe we got a video. We got a women's conference coming up in September. And go ahead and roll that video.
And
testing. Our ladies that have been to that have really talked about what a blessing it is. If you are interested in attending that, see Carol Lance, my wife, or see Kelly Freeman. They have information they can share with you, and I know that you will be blessed by that conference. Amen. This morning during the offering, I want us to receive a special love offering for Steve and Shelley Tyler. As I mentioned in prayer, they had a fire and lost every single thing, and they are going to be trying to find a place to live and so on, so they are not here this morning. But I want us to receive an offering along with our regular offering. So if our ushers would come, if you want to give to Steve and Shelley, just put on there Steve and Shelley or put Tyler, T-Y-L-E-R, and we will make sure that they get every dollar. But I think it'd be a great blessing to them to just show our love and our support for them during this time and receive a great offering. I'd like to see us give them at least $1,000. And so I've got my check made out. Like I said, just put Tyler family or Steve and Shelley somewhere where we know that you are giving to that need today. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time of worship. We thank you, Lord, for the offering today. And I pray that you would just let this offering, not only the tithes and the missions offering that's given regularly, but this special offering for Steve and Shelley be a great source of strength and blessing as they rebuild their lives and get their feet back on the ground. So touch them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lucas. Praise God. Our mission team was gone last Sunday. They were in Denver. And so Pastor Phil and the team are going to come and talk about that and share a message. And so let's give it up for Pastor Phil and our team this morning. Amen.
Go ahead, team. Come on up and get ready. Man, one of the things that has happened over the course of the years that I've been here and we've been doing missions trips is that the team continues to grow. And if you have been here in the subsequent months since we started talking about our missions team, I told you there was 38 of us, 14 from Bartlesville, 24 from right here at Noble. We have a few that are gone today, vacations and other things, but a majority of our team is here, and so they're going to get that set up really quick while I talk, and we're going to share with you a little bit about the trip, and then we'll share with you a video, and then I'm going to come speak to you for a little bit and encourage you, and but we want to first say thank you. Thank you for those of you who filled in and said, hey, I'm going to pray for you while you're gone. And I noticed when I came back, the sheets that were on my desk with all those signups, every spot was full. Many of the spots had more than one person having signed up just put me right here somewhere in the middle. Yeah, perfect. All right. Yeah. Elliot's my handler, so usually he's right by me to make sure I do everything right. But we want to say thank you so much for praying for us. And you know what? Elliot, pick this bad boy up and stick it over there so it's not in the way. Make sure you pick it up by that, not by the top. There you go. One way or the other, doesn't matter. Just get it out of the way. Perfect. And the stand, they said. Yeah, there you go. Okay, that means you got to bring it back. All right? All right, good. Yeah, they're tired. They're still tired. We had a wonderful trip, and we forgot the mics, didn't we? Where am I sitting? Right here? This will be good? All right. This is going to kill my OCD because that's the middle of the stage right there. And there's, wait, hold on. One, two. This is the middle? Okay. All right. There's 10 to each side. Hey. Hi. All right. There's so many of you. Hey, isn't that awesome? How many went on the missions trip? Amen. All right, so we've got, I told them we're going to use all the mics, at least kind of pass them around. We've got one there. Okay, that's good. Well, you might put a third one just to be, just keep working, son. Keep going. Welcome to a glimpse into our missions trip. I just need you to do one more thing, Elliot, just one more thing. So, awesome. Awesome. Hey, first thing we're going to do, you never want to assume that that everybody in the room knows everybody, all right? So you may not know who these people are, or you may not know Maybe you're going to figure out today who belongs to who. You're like, oh, they may be brother and sister or something. And so the secret's out, Smiths, all right? You guys are related. And so what we're going to do is let's just start right down here. We're going to make Amber. And all I just need to tell your name if you want to tell your age. And that's it. Name and age, all right? And how many mission trips you've been on, if you can remember that. All right, really quick. Hold on. Is there a switch on it? No, they probably said that. Try it again.
Hello. Okay. My name is Amber Seidel. I'm a year younger than Phil, and I've been on 2 missions trips.
My name's Tanya Idell, and I think 7.
I'm Lucas Smith, and...
How old are you?
26. I already lost track.
That's a good thing.
I'm Melissa Clark. I'm 48, and this was my 6th missions trip.
My name is Darren Whitmire, and I believe it is my, I'm going to say either 9 or 8th, I believe. Honestly, I lost track myself.
Hi, I'm Paige Idell. I am 18, and this was my 10th missions trip.
Hey, I'm Maddie Moses. I'm 13, and this is my 3rd missions trip.
I'm Benjamin Smith. That's my 2nd mission trip.
I'm Elliot Freeman. I'm 18, and I've been on 12 mission trips.
Pastor Phil, I just turned 43 on Saturday, and I have lost track, too. I'm going to guess somewhere between 25 to 30. Yeah, you can't have my mic.
I'm Maddie. I'm 20, and I've been on, I think, either 8 or 9 mission trips.
I'm Grace, I'm 23, and I've been on 5 mission trips.
I'm Asher Smith, I'm 14, and this is my 1st mission trip.
I'm Braylon Freeman, that's my father. I'm 17, and I've been on 11 mission trips.
I'm Cabri, and I'm 12, and I've been on 2 mission trips.
I'm Isabella, I'm 12, and I've been on 2 mission trips.
My name is Brian Nidell, and I'm 18, and I've been on.
You're 18?
No.
15. He's 18. He I'm accelerated 15. In age.
I'm so.
We dropped.
I'll show you again. 15.
I'm 15, and I've been on 8 mission trips.
Okay. I think he was going to switch those two. Switch the numbers.
My name is Wyatt Smith, and. I'm 16, and this is my 1st mission trip.
Yep.
Fran Whitmire, and I've been on 2 missions trips, and thanks to Pastor Steve, everybody knows how old I am.
Pastor Steve posted that on Facebook?
Yes, he did.
Wow. Pastor Steve, your name is M-U-D, all right? Mud. All right. Not everybody has to answer every question, but I just want a few people to answer. And so the first question is this. What ministry event did you enjoy the most? Thing that we did. What ministry event did you enjoy the most? Anybody can talk. All right.
Passing out food boxes.
And what?
Just seeing people's faces. I mean, it's when you really get to be close to them. And the day we went to that Hispanic neighborhood and talking to those people and... Even if they didn't take a box, they were like, well, this person over here needs help. Or one gentleman even told us that there's a refrigerator by a business that's closed out, and you can leave a box in there, and whoever needs it will come get it. That's really cool, people taking care of each other, that there's still a community going on, and I didn't really expect to see that in Big Denver, you know?
Right. I enjoyed sending Darren into the neighborhood, into the fenced areas of houses that had dogs with the boxes.
Yeah.
I said, Darren, that one has a dog. I want you to go to that door. So, all right, somebody else. What ministry event did you enjoy the most?
I really enjoyed the lake day that we got to go enjoy with the kids. Those relationships that we build are really special, and it kind of gives them a sense of hope when we go out and do stuff like that, and they get to have fun and build relationships, like I said. Cool. And it's just a really special day for me and the kids.
Awesome. Awesome. One more? Anybody else want to mention that? What was your favorite ministry event that we did that you enjoyed the most? All right, Fran's going to talk.
My favorite one is when we went to the food bank. We, the camaraderie between us all, we all worked together, we all laughed together, and we packed very many boxes. And sometimes it was kind of hard because we were packing stuff that came from Starbucks. And Maddie was packing these cake pops and
what
said,
"What the devil meant for evil, God would use for good."
Oh, we got to throw those away. I think I'll stick that one in my pocket. And so it was a lot of fun, but yet we knew we were doing something good for the city of Denver. Yeah.
They split us up into two groups, two different assembly lines, and we were mixed. The team from Bartlesville and ourselves did, you know, it was a tremendous job of just blending together. Nobody would have known who was from what church. It was so awesome. And so there was some of us on each side of the volunteer room working. And I know that combined, we boxed over 25,000 pounds of food. And so, yeah, amen. Yeah, I didn't get a sheet for the other side, but for our side, that was a 911 cases or boxes for 15,500 pounds, which would provide almost 13,000 meals for people. And a little side note, I did a little math because I love math. And Benjamin over here, his job was to put two cans of
beans and one tomato sauce.
And one tomato sauce. And we took the weight of those and multiplied it by 911 boxes. And Benjamin can now say that he boxed a ton of food in one day. So 2,000 pounds. Yeah. Way to go, Benjamin. All right. Which ministry opportunity challenged you the most and why? Which opportunity challenged you the most and why? Somebody else maybe share. Come on, people. Like, not me. I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk. I just want to smile. I'm purposely not answering because I'm going to speak, and so I'm going to talk about my experience. So, all right.
Okay. Street ministry is something they do. They have a Thrive team, which I don't know if you're going to talk about what Thrive is, but Thrive is a ministry that they have for men who are coming out of incarceration. They go into a halfway house, and then they help them get back out into the world. We met this guy last year, and he was with us again this year. His name's Danny.
He looks like Vin Diesel.
He
no
does.
Joke.
He's huge. He was in prison for 20 years for murder. So he took us down onto the street, and we got to do a pop-up clothing where people could come and get new clothes if they wanted clean clothes. And then we just kind of spread out and went out and handed out bottles of water and got to talk and pray with people who wanted to be prayed with. So we met a couple that Danny, Maddie's like, oh, that's what I was going to talk about. Okay, I won't talk about them. But I met another couple by myself. I went off by myself and met another couple. And it's just really humbling because when you see homeless people, a lot of people think, hey, they choose to be there, and that isn't always the case. But just hearing Danny's testimony, one thing that has really challenged me is I never saw myself as a judgmental person until we got to meet with these guys, and just knowing his history and knowing that probably most people, if they looked at him and knew that he was in prison for murder, they wouldn't want to talk to him, but he's one of the most incredible people you would ever meet. So just a little side testimony from that. When we came back from Denver, I was in the grocery store and I saw a guy coming towards me, and he was big like Danny, tattooed, looked rough. And my initial instinct was that judgment. And then I just stopped in the aisle, and I just prayed, God, please let me see people through your eyes and not through my own. So it was challenging, but it opened my eyes to a lot of stuff.
All right, anybody else? What was most challenging? Anybody want to? All right, we'll move to the next question. Next question. Favorite encounter you had with someone? This is your question right here. Favorite encounter you had with somebody?
Okay. Well, my mom kind of pretty much summed it up. This couple that we met one day when we went out, like, really got to me.
I'm very shy. Not many people know that, but I don't really like talking to people that much. But I kind of stepped out of my comfort zone, and just listening to their story about how like they came from having like an apartment and everything was fine to just losing stuff in a matter of months just like kind of broke me, because like I feel like I take stuff for granted. You know, I've been raised in this church all my life, and I've pretty much gotten things, even if it doesn't seem fair to me, I've gotten things way much better than other people. And it kind of just humbled me, because I don't think we realize how much we get. And we get upset about the littlest things or littlest answers that aren't always what we want. But they really got to me, and she gave me a hug. And her, like, just her dogs and the way that she takes care of them, like family, I don't know. It just really got to my heart, so.
Anybody else want to share an encounter that? Okay, awesome.
So Saturday we did what's called Adopt a Block. And part of that, like what I did most of the time, was walking around and knocking on apartment doors and giving out what's called hope boxes, which is basically just necessities. Well, we came to this one house, and there was this lady, her name is Amanda, sitting on her front porch cutting her son's hair. And me and Dallas, which is one of the leaders from the other youth group that went with us, just stopped and got to hear her testimony. She's been going through a lot. She's got 5 kids. Her husband recently left, so she's basically doing it on her own. A lot of the past 9 years in and out of church and not feeling like she had a church family, and then finally, you know, just recently got into a different church that she feels welcomed. So after we had that whole conversation, Dallas looks at me and goes, "Hey, Paige, will you pray for me?" Literally just called me out on the spot. And that's one of the things that I've like been challenged with so much, is praying out loud and praying for people. But it came out like it was nothing. Like I'd done it a million times and it was so easy for me. So that's one of those moments, like having that connection with Amanda and getting to pray for her and pray for her family and everything is just amazing.
Awesome. All right, here's the next question. These trips that we do 2 a year. We do one at spring break, Mission Arlington, then we go somewhere in the summer, whether it be Atlanta or Detroit or St. Louis or L.A. or, my goodness, we've been some places, Denver. They take a lot of work. They take a lot of fundraising, a lot of mowing lawns and writing letters and babysitting and filling the blank of baking goods down there, Idell's, and more tamales than we want to talk about. So what makes mission trips worth going on? We keep doing this. What makes it worth going on? Somebody share about that.
I think that mission trips, not only like you're helping other people, so that makes you feel good, but like those people, you're connecting them to God, and then it's just you're planting the seed and it's getting sown all through the year with the ministries that you're going and helping. And it just is also a good time just for you to grow, just to see what's happening in other people's lives and, you know, stuff like that.
Somebody else, what makes mission trips worth going on? Who's going to? Oh, Amber's. All right, Amber's.
Yeah, don't talk.
Don't cry.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm probably going to. I mean, seeing everything going on there is one thing, but going on mission trips with the kids, and not so much what you do, but seeing how some of them step out and really grow and the things they do and then the bonds they make. And then, you know, issues behind the scenes that no one else knows. Then you get them in their small group and all of a sudden their issues disappear or you see them heal. So to me, it's just watching the kids grow and how much they're getting done is what makes the missions trip worth it.
We had a transition this year. Usually I lead from the front and I say, here we go, I'm going to run forward and you just try to chase me and, you know, come on, see if you can keep up with Pastor Phil. And this year I really sensed the Lord making a change kind of in what he wanted me to do. And so this year, many of these kids have been going on these trips. They know what to do. They know how to do it. They needed it, you know. And so I intentionally stepped back a little bit. Not that I wasn't there. I wasn't there to guide and direct, but I did not lead from the front and I let them lead. And they did a majority of the work. They did the majority of pushing forward. They did the majority of talking to people and praying with people and things of that nature. And I just got to sit back. Not that I wasn't working, you know me. I can't get my hands out of it completely. But got to watch them, you know, move in the giftings God has given them, and it was awesome. It was so awesome, and it was good for me. It was super good for my soul for sure. And honestly, I felt like I came back, even though I was tired. I felt like I came. Maybe physically I was tired, but spiritually I felt so rested. Just having watched the fruit produced in these young people who have been being, you know, we've invested in year after year after year doing this. And so, and I watched them lead the other youth group, which was really cool. That was a challenge I gave them before I left. I said, you've been on many trips, so you don't get the excuse of we're doing what they're doing because you've been doing this longer. And so I want you to lead forward. And they did. And so I'm really proud of them for that. All right. A couple more questions. What one piece of advice would you give to someone who's planning on going on their first missions trip? They're out here right now and they're thinking, man, this sounds great. This sounds fun. This sounds uplifting. This sounds like something I maybe want to try to do. Maybe it's a young person or it's an adult, all right? And we're always open for adults to go with us. Give me one piece of advice, just real quick. Oh, Darren's got one. Uh-oh. This will be sage advice.
So apart from this, definitely, if you asked me if I was going to do this like 2-3 years ago, I would definitely say no, I'm not doing that, never. But nowadays, because of mostly all these people here, my church family, my blood family, all the others, I definitely would tell you guys, anyone who wants to go, to be open to experience new things, experience anything that happens, experience meeting new people, to change them, to meet them, to become something to them. Because some people out there, they don't have anything. That's something they need.
Come on, Darren, don't make me cry. Quit it, Darren. All right, anybody else got an advice?
I got one.
All right. Fran, you down there crying? Me too, okay.
All right, if you want to go on a mission trip, be super flexible. You never know what you're going to get. You never know what situations you're going to be thrown into or to help with or be just a witness to.
Come on.
So don't ever expect something super normal or something like stereotypical of a missions trip, because that's not always what's going to happen.
All right. Yeah.
I think what I would mostly say is, like, come with an open heart. Like, I started whenever you first did the first ever mission trip to Michigan, and I was like, don't talk to me, don't look at me, I'm shy, I'm in my bubble, don't speak to me. And then after going on that first one, I was like, man, this is just addicting. Like, I love helping people. It's just helped me so much grow. And then over the years, just building the relationships with all of y'all, and especially like Amber's and me, butt heads a lot, and now he's like my buddy, and we pick on each other all the time. But like, I mean, even with the girls, like me and Paige had a heart-to-heart this week, and if you knew us, we also butted head too, but I feel like we really broke through, and I feel like it's a really good time to find who you are, especially in Christ. Also, like being with other missions team was very eye-opening to me, because I always was like, oh, well, we just do everything and people should know how to do it. And just having to like teach them and help them move along really helped me as well. So I just say, come with an open heart, follow what he says, and just have fun.
Come on. I don't want to cut anybody out.
If you're going to go, pray with a purpose of what you want to see.
Come on.
And you got to be, really just pinpoint what you're wanting. Don't be open too much to what you're, because if you open it up too wide, you get a little more than what you're ready for. But if you just come in with, this is what I really, open my heart to this. This is what I need to learn for this week, what I need to learn from this trip. And it really, really gets you there.
All right, last question. Who's going on another missions trip? All right, that's what I figured. All right, would you give him a hand? Would you give him a hand? You can go ahead and be seated. Will you get thing back? Yeah, you can leave the chairs there.
Yeah. Yep.
You can leave the chairs. It'll be okay. Yeah. If they'll just give him my stand back. Awesome. 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 Look at them. They're like little workers. You know what? Everybody gets lunch. All right, everybody gets lunch. Awesome. Here's what we're going to do. You heard a little bit about it. I'm going to come back and speak in just a moment, but we want to share with you a video. How many of you like to see some pictures of what we did? Here we go. That's good. Can't keep them from working.
My trust in gold, I love the way it shines. I'm getting comfortable dancing with all the lies, with all the lies. My soul is not for sale, my heart is not for hire. I've come too far to fail. Give me that holy fire, that holy fire. I need more than all my eyes have seen, so I can live, I can love like it was meant to be. This world is not my home. Wherever my treasure is, that's where my heart will be. Please don't let me forget, you already set me free. You set me. When the dark lasts a little bit longer, when the wind and the storm is a little bit stronger, when the fear in my heart digs a little bit deeper, and when my faith to stand gets a little bit weaker, where could I run to? Where could I go? Even when it feels like my world is shaking, even when I've had all that I can take, I know you never let me go. Whoa. And even when the waters won't stop rising, even when I'm caught in the dead of night, I know no matter how it ends, you're with me.
Your calling comes in dream. Sometimes it comes in the spirit's breeze. Yeah, you reach for the deepest hope in me and call out for the things of eternity. But I'm a man of dust and stains. You move in me, so I can't say, here I am, Lord, send me all of my life. I make an offering. Here I am, Lord, send me. Somehow my story is a part of your plan. Here I am. Setbacks and failures and upset plans test my faith and leave me with empty hands. Are you not the closest when it's hardest to stand? I know that you will finish what you began. And these broken parts you redeem, become the song that I can't sing. Here I am, Lord, send me all of my life. I make an offering. Here I am, Lord, send me. Somehow my story is a part of your plan. Here I am.
Oh, my goodness. No question about it, we have fun while we're on missions trips. How many of you are wondering why there was Christmas trees? Come on, somebody go, what is going on with the Christmas trees? That was the theme out in the housing edition. We did a kind of a carnival, not really a carnival. What do we call that thing? Well, we call it Christmas in July, but whatever. That was the theme of it. And so anyway, yeah, it looked a little weird right out here in the middle of the summer. We're all sweating in the midst of Christmas trees, but it worked and kids came and played. So we even had a snowball fight in the middle of Denver, in the middle of the housing projects, in the middle of July. You're wondering how that works? It's called pantyhose filled with flour. So that's why all those people looked like they had flour all over them. They did. They did. So anyway, hey, I want to share with you for just the next few moments and from my heart a little bit. How many of you consider yourself hard workers? Come on. Come on if you're a hard worker. It's okay if you don't raise your hand. Some of you say, you know what? I'm married to a hard worker, and so I don't have to be. All right, there you go. All right, awesome. Do you ever get tired when you're working, though? I mean, how many of you ever get tired that your lawn needs mowed every 2 days? You know what I'm talking about? You're like, I'm convinced, I don't know about you, but I'm convinced that my neighbor is putting Miracle-Gro in my grass when I'm not looking because my lawn, yeah. But what is it that creates the fatigue? Is it the work itself? Is it the work that we're doing that creates, I mean, you start out, maybe it's the physicality of the work. You start out strong, but before long, the temperatures start to rise and your muscles begin to get sore. Or maybe it's the people you have to work with. Maybe you're the only one working in your family, and so everybody else is making you tired. Anybody? Come on, can I get a testimony? All right. Lance, are you saying that's, okay, Heather's not doing anything. Okay. I charge $50 an hour for marriage counseling. It all goes to missions. All right. Maybe you're surrounded by non-hard workers. Have you ever been drained not by what you're doing or how much you're doing or even where you are doing it or who you're doing it with, but you're drained by the pursuit of why you're doing something? Has the why ever drained you? I have a confession time for me. I love to work hard. I have this unusual ability/drive to just work. Even when it doesn't make sense, I just love it. I love it. And about the time I think I've got enough to do, I run for mayor. And so, yeah. So, it's not anybody else's fault. It's my own fault. And so when we go on missions trips, I'm going to be honest with you today. I often get really frustrated, and I feel as if we're not being asked to do enough. That's just me personally. Doesn't mean that it's true. It's just where I'm at. Sometimes I feel like, are we doing enough? And I get even more frustrated if I feel that what we're doing, Pastor, isn't making any progress. Why are we doing this? Shouldn't we be doing something else? Yes, I'm giving you real thoughts today. Yes, we're handing out food, but no one's come to the altar yet. Yes, we're playing with kids, but at the end of the day, they're still cussing. Yes, we put on a community carnival, but the families are still broken. Yes, we clothe the homeless, but they're still living in tents. Have you ever been in the midst of working hard and still trying to figure out, is it amounting to anything? Why are we doing what we're doing? So this year, I gave myself a little pep talk before we left. Anybody ever give themselves a pep talk? Just me? Hey, listen, let me tell you right now, it's okay to talk to yourself. Just don't lose the argument. That's when it starts getting a problem. If you lose the argument, you need to go get help, all right? And I told myself this. Here's what I said. Being honest with you. I said, we can only do what they ask us to do. All right? Don't quit trying to make more work for yourself, Pastor Phil. You can only do what they ask you to do. And if we do that, then we've done all that we were supposed to do. Sounds good. This was my little pep talk to try to counteract the fact that I always want to work just a little bit more. After all, we went to Denver to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to help the Denver Dream Center to continue to reach the lost and the hurting. So the first day of ministry, here's what happened. They put on some worship music and they said, we want you just to stop. Now, how many of you know that my personality, that is not what I want to do. Stop. No. We got here. Let's do something. Where are we going? Let's go. They said, no, we want you to stop. We're going to put on some music, and we want you to write down on a note card what you'd like to see God do in your life this week. Well, I want people to get saved. I want people to be delivered. I want people to, I know what I want God to do. You know what I mean? Let's go do it. Anybody else impatient like me? Come on. No? Okay, just three of us. Great. All right. Being a little too transparent today. Some of y'all are getting judgy with your looks. No. And so as I sat there and the worship music played, I wrote down these words on my card. Increase my vision. Lord, I want you to increase my vision this week. Now, what I meant was, God, show me how to reach the lost this week. I need you to increase my vision so I can see how to get done what I think needs to get done. That's what I really meant when I wrote that down. It's so spiritual, isn't it? What he did last week was open my eyes and remind me of why we were there. You know, we go to Denver and we go to L.A. and we go to Atlanta and Detroit and St. Louis and Mission Arlington and even the Oklahoma City Dream Center here locally. We work at all kinds of different places doing missions work. And the truth is, it's to reach people who are in pursuit of hope. That's the title of my message this morning, or what I'm talking to you about this morning is In the Pursuit of Hope. In the Pursuit of Hope. Everything we do is to provide hope. Everybody say hope. I was making sure you're with me today. We desperately desire that each and every person would come into contact and form a relationship with Jesus because he is the hope of the world. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says this. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if, listen to this, we do not give up. I don't know about you, but I'm all in when it comes to reaping a harvest. I'm all in when it comes to people coming to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And so I love that it says, do not become weary. Do not begin to question, God, why do I have to do it this way? God, why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? I believe that if we'll be faithful to just do what he asks us to do, he is the hope of the world, and he already has explained the why. Because we're connecting people to Jesus. So give me some food boxes to carry. Give me some clothes to hand out. Give me some carnival games to run. Give me some kids to play with. If it gets me to the harvest, I'm all in. You know, the definition of hope is this. It's a feeling of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen. In this case, the thing is life change. It's an expectation or desire that their life could change for the better. And so I want to share with you, I didn't talk this morning because I wanted to share with you three stories of people God is building hope in the midst of Denver. The first one is this. It's the story of Mona. I want to tell you about Mona real quick. Mona is homeless. She lives in a tent in the middle of the sidewalk, in the middle of downtown Denver, across the street from some very nice high-rise apartments and a local fire station. Literally, her tent's here, fire station's right there. She's an afterthought. Literally blending in, Mona literally blends in as the cars drive past her as she sits on a milk crate at the entrance to her tent. She and the other homeless have just recently been moved further away from the center of downtown, Pastor. The reason? Because Major League Baseball All-Star Game is being hosted in Denver the week we're there, and the city doesn't need the homeless population making them look bad. So they moved them away from the Rocky Stadium and pushed them further away so that tourists can spend their money while the homeless don't bother anyone. Our team, all four church vans, and another Denver Dream Center van pull up next to where she and other homeless are living, tents randomly sprinkled over about a half city block. We've come to give out clothes. We've come to give out clothes. We've set up a clothes rack right there at the curb and are now going around in groups, handing out water, letting everyone know in the tents that we have free clothing and offering prayer. We tell them they can take as much clothing as they want. But what I notice is that they only take what they need so that the others can have some too. I'm walking around trying to lead by example, but I'm being honest with you today. Inwardly, I'm struggling at the sheer size of the need in front of us. What will free clothes really change? What will a free shirt, a free pair of pants, a jacket, or whatever else we had on that big clothing rack, what was that really going to change for these people? And then I met Mona. She's sweet, she's engaging, and she is immediately worried about where I'm going to sit while we talk. I'm serious. She has a chair. There's another lady from the Bartlesville team that's there talking with her too. And there's a chair, and it's a dining room type chair, but it's busted in the middle. And so she's trying to explain to Mama Kay how to sit in this chair wouldn't collapse. And she's worried about where I'm going to sit. We begin to talk, and she tells her life story. A broken marriage, grown kids she seldom sees because she can't get there, grandkids she loves and misses, a lost job that's led to a lost house, and pretty much a lost life. She assures me vehemently, both of us, that she's never had any legal trouble, she's never done drugs, and it's obvious that she's super intelligent, so there's no mental illness. And then she says, then I remember when she says this, if only I had a way to get off these streets and out of this tent. This is big. This is real big when she says it, because many homeless don't have a desire to get off the streets. Some because of addiction, others because of trust issues. People have broken their trust and they don't want to, they just would rather stay where they're at rather than risk being betrayed again. And almost all of them, because of a loss of hope. They've been there so long. There was a lady sitting next to Mona, and I asked her how long she'd been on the street, and she said, I don't remember having not been on the street. I'm not sure. My mind is racing. This is it. This is why I'm here. And so I take off to get a Denver Dream Center staff member because I remembered that they told us, if somebody wants to get off the street, come find us. We have a way for them to do so. And Mona has said she wants to. And so I race to get the Denver Dream Center staff member, and I bring him over and I introduce Mona to him, and he begins to give her information. He gives her the name and the number and the location of where she can start to build a new life. And they begin to talk about, okay, well, do you know, can you get here? And here's the information, and gave her a sheet of paper and explained to her the process, gave her a number of where she can call, and they would walk step by step through the process. And in that moment, I saw hope. Everybody say hope. I saw hope rise up in Mona's heart, and I felt purpose rise up in my spirit. Because no longer was it about the clothes. It was about Mona. It was about Mona. See, you have to understand, we had driven through downtown, and I watched as there was nowhere the homeless were supposed to be. They weren't. And I watched as we went street after street after street, and there were homeless spread from blocks, Pastor, from where we were to where we had been. We passed a lot of people so that God could lead us to Mona. Why is it important that we work so hard to reach people where they are? Because the world is in pursuit of hope, and we know the one who is the hope of the world. Matthew chapter 12, verse 21 puts it this way: in his name, the nations will put their hope. In his name, the nations will put their hope. This past week, Mona got more than clothes. Mona got hope. Got hope that her life could be different than it was, that it could change. And I'm looking forward to following up with the Denver Dream Center to see if Mona has continued to take those steps. But I know this, when we begin to do things, it's not because of making us feel better. It's not so that we can feel like we did just the right thing. It's to be obedient to what God's asked us to do. Whatever God calls you to do in the lives of others, it's simply for the pursuit of helping them to find hope. The second story is the story of Sarah. I've changed her name for her protection because just in case, I just decided to do it. Our team took a group of kids on a reward trip to the lake. You saw some of the pictures of that. These particular kids had completed a course on building rockets. You saw the rockets picture show and the slideshow. They had to make it to all the classes. They had to listen. They had to learn. These kids had to build the rocket, and then they had to successfully launch them. And if they did all that, then their reward trip was to get to go to the lake. It was about 30 to 45 minutes from where they lived there. We had to drive out over to Evergreen. Was it Evergreen? No, the Evergreen was where was that lake at? Chatfield. Thank you. Part of our team even had the privilege, those that didn't go to the food bank had the privilege of cheering them on the launch day. And so it was a really cool kind of relationship building time. For doing such great work, they got to go to the lake. And so we cooked out and we swam and we even rented 4 kayaks. They let me rent a kayak and they gave me a life vest to go out on the lake. And then the kids got to take turns with the adult supervision. It was a 2-seater kayak. And so adults, we would sit in the back and we'd let the kids swap on and off and we'd take them around the lake and go out and see the geese on the water. And listen, it was a great day. It was a great day for kids just to be kids and to put behind them the worries of their life for the day. Sarah attended Lake Day with her kids. She was the only parent, I think, one of the only parents I remember being there. And she actually drove them to the lake instead of the Dream Center picking them up. They came as a family, and you'll understand in a little bit why that was so important. Once again, I was reminding myself that we can only do what they ask us to do. And Denver was a long drive, and so if God wants to gift me a Lake Day, who am I to stand in the way? He obviously had a lot of work to do to help me with my vision. We played in the water and we took kids on the kayaks and we challenged everybody to find the biggest rock in the lake. That's real. We ate some burgers and some hot dogs. It was a good day. Little did I know that the day was about to reveal its true purpose. That it really wasn't about hot dogs and hamburgers and kayaks and all those things were fun. Jen Sanders, who's the lead for the Denver Dream Center, she's the one that puts all the trips together, and she's the one that goes with us to the different places and puts the opportunities for ministry. She had gone to the trip. She has the relationships with the families and the students. She was standing on the shore of the lake, and I went to ask her if she wanted us to start cleaning up. She said to me, "Let's wait a few minutes." And as I looked at her, I realized she was just staring out at the lake. I was trying to figure out what she was doing. What was she looking at? She was looking at Sarah. She began to tell me as we stood there on the shore, Sarah's story of multiple bad marriages / relationships, many poor life decisions, abuse which led to neglect, which led to almost losing her children multiple times. She began to tell me about Sarah's constant battle against depression. Jen said, "It has been a really tough road that we've walked with Sarah." But in that moment, she's talking to us, or talking to me about it, we're looking out, and Sarah, in that moment, Sarah sat in a kayak out on the lake with one kid on her lap in the back seat, another sitting in the other seat on the front of the kayak, and the third one in the water trying to tip the kayak over. But that wasn't the big part. The big part is in the midst of that scene, in the midst of Sarah sitting there with her kids, She was laughing. And as I stood next to Jen, Jen says to me, "I don't remember the last time I saw Sarah smile." And then Jen keeps saying over and over again, as if I can remember like it was yesterday, "This is big. This is huge. This is a breakthrough." In that moment, we stood there and we watched as Sarah found hope. Hope that she'd be okay as a single mom. Hope that her family was going to be okay. That she wasn't going to lose her kids. That maybe she could rise up out of depression to be able to lead her family forward. Hope that it was all going to be okay. You see, Sarah gave her heart to Jesus a little while back. And her kids have been involved in the programs for quite a while now. But it's been a while since Sarah had smiled. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." We didn't go to the lake for hot dogs and kayaks and swimming. That was fun. We went to the lake so that Sarah could find hope. We went to the lake so that Sarah could have a moment with her family. We went to the lake so that Jesus could reach down and just touch Sarah's heart. She could smile maybe for the first time in a long, long time. Don't question what God has you doing, because the why is securely in his hands. The world is full of Sarahs who need someone to be willing to just say yes to what God's calling them to do. If we'll be obedient to his call, he'll be faithful to bring hope to those who need it. The last story I want to share really quick is this, the story of Francis. Raise your hand, guys, if you know Francis. Yeah, we know. All my team members, we all know Francis because we met him last year. Francis is a typical teenager. He loves sports, enjoys hanging out with other teens, and is always available to eat. Francis is a big boy. He's a big, tall kid. Francis lives in the Westridge Housing Authority. It's where we did the carnival. It's where we handed out food boxes. It's where we did snowball fight. We did a lot of ministry in Westridge last week. Westridge has 192 units in it, 179 of which are single-parent homes. 300 kids live in those 192 units, 300 kids under the age of 17. It's just an apartment complex. It's not very big. There's a lot of kids. And as you can imagine, it becomes difficult to escape the culture and the environment that's created there. Francis is pretty quiet, actually. Very respectful. And he pretty much attends all of the Denver Dream Center activities regularly. He's all in. He's one that we saw last year. We saw him this year. And so when we went to put on a carnival at the community center in his housing addition, by this time in the week, I had started to catch on that God is on the move and I need to keep my eyes peeled on what he's doing. And so we unloaded all the supplies. We were running a little late, remember, guys? People were already lining up for the carnival, and we hadn't even got close to setting it up. We were unloading all supplies, and Melissa and the crew were starting to cook food in the kitchen. And when our guys were setting up the carnival games, and we had somebody making posters so you know what the game was. And before you know it, the carnival is in full effect. It's awesome. Awesome. Free food and games and I tried to get by the food, but Melissa's too smart for that, so I didn't get in the kitchen. And they assigned me the pie in the face booth, but then reconsidered that one too. So I eventually found myself playing basketball with the teen boys because they were none too interested in all the kiddie games. They just wanted to play basketball. This was multiple gym. We were in the community center. And it's here that I really get to connect with Francis. I noticed something. He's bigger, and he's taller than he was last year, but he's more confident. Francis is definitely, he's no longer in the shadows. He's not any louder than he had ever than he was before. He's still a quiet guy, but he seems to have a purpose, and the other boys seem to be following his lead. They're all eyes are on Francis. And as they get to talk to him, I find out that he no longer is running the streets and doing those things, but he's spending his time focusing on getting good grades and working on his basketball skills. One of the Denver Dream Center staff is training and coaching him right now. They were right before we started the carnival, and they've been working with him every week, trying to help him to possibly get a scholarship. And it is in those moments while we're talking, and I'm asking about it, that he says this to me. He says, I actually have hope. Everybody say hope. I actually have hope that I will make it out of here and make something of my life. I actually have hope that I will make it out of here and make something of my life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. We must never give up on anyone, no matter their circumstances, for we serve the one who places hope in the midst of hopeless situations. I share with you these stories today because, one, I want you didn't get the privilege to go with us, but I hope today that I could paint a picture of a few people we encountered and met. I'm sure those weren't the only three people that hope touched this week. They just happened to be the one that I was there to see as it happened. For every Mona and Sarah and Francis, there's 10, 20, 30, 40 more who God is still trying to reach. I got to be honest with you. I commend the Denver Dream Center along with ministries just like it. Because honestly, what they're doing is day in, day out, they're continuing to create relationship. Jen told us the story of a lady she met this past week. She said, we've been bringing food to her house for months, but this is the first time we've actually got to have a conversation with her. Let that sink in for a second. Would you be willing to do something for months without anything being given back? What would we be willing to do so that a door might be opened, so that someone might have hope? Would you bow your heads this morning? Lord, I thank you for every person in this place today. I thank you, Lord, for my kids, my team, my adults. Gosh. Lord, I know that you're so proud of them. You're so proud of the work they did this last week. You're so proud of the labor that they did. Lord, because I know that I popped a few buttons being so proud myself. But Lord, I want you to be proud of all of us today. Lord, would you open our eyes? Would you do as I asked at the beginning of the week last week? Would you increase our vision to not question the why of what you ask us to do, but just be obedient to do it? God, we never know how you're going to move. We never know how you're going to move, whether it be in a moment helping somebody get off the streets, in a moment helping a mom reclaim her family, or in a moment helping a young person to realize that they're not destined to be stuck in one place simply because of where they were born. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand that people are in the pursuit of hope, and you are the hope of the world. With everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask this really quick. Would you commit with me? Would you commit with me to just allow the Lord to be open, allow the Lord to increase your vision to the needs around you, to what God's doing in the lives around you? We never know who God's moving upon, whose heart might be open, if we would just simply be obedient to do what he asks us to do. Would you raise your hand, just say, God, I'll be willing. Lord, would you increase my vision so that those around may see you and may their hope be increased. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand? Would you stand? We're going to close out this way. We're going to close out this way. Would you take the hand of the person next to you if you feel comfortable doing so? Take the hand of the person next to you. We do this a lot in youth, so welcome to youth group in big church or whatever we call this. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me, all right? All right? It says, I commit to increase my vision as the Lord allows me to. And I commit that as my eyes are opened, that I will move forward in what God asks me to do. I want to be a hope giver. Lord, I pray right now you would touch every person in this room. Open their eyes. Help them to be givers of hope. They lead, help us to lead people to the one who is the hope of the world. And may you continue to touch our hearts. May we never grow cold to the need that's out there. May we never grow cynical to what the world is doing. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give somebody a high five. Let's go change the world. I love you.
My every moment. You walk with me through the fire.
Nothing is impossible.
believe you're my healer. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all.